Y'all don't know this, but the joke during the choir rehearsals this week was that I was going to have to be peeled off the rafters by the time I got to the sermon. And I told them, because I sat for a little while in the rehearsal this morning, that I was already way past them. I hope you are too. I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, born of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, suffered and was buried, descended into hell, and on the third day, on the third day, he arose. The Credo. If you, like me, happen to be a pastor who is preaching on Easter Sunday and has a frighteningly long Holy Week to-do list, and Beyonce drops her epic homecoming documentary on Netflix right in the middle of that same Holy Week, thank you very much, perhaps you figured out how to watch it in 20-minute chunks every night. Yes? I don't know what your story is, but that's my story. Anyway, as I wrapped up the last 20 minutes yesterday, Maya Angelou's voice came through like pure unadulterated Easter joy. In one of her final interviews, when asked what advice she had for the next generation, she said, "Tell the truth to yourself and to the children." And as we heard read today, the women in the most famous story in Christian history tried to do just that. The gospel lesson reads, hear it again. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense. And they didn't believe the women. Ahora en español. Era María Magdalena y Juana y María, madre de Jacobo, y las demás con ellas quienes dijeron estas cosas a los apóstoles. Mas a ellos le parecían locura las palabras de ellas, y no las creían. I can see it now. It's kind of like a meme, an image of shocked disciples, arms raised, the women standing next to them trying to spit out the story through tears and fear, and written across that image in block letters, Easter, colon, disbelieving women since 33 AD. And it's precisely from this moment, this posture of disbelief, dismissal, and dismay, that Easter still dares to tell the truth. For 6 weeks now, I think that's right, we've plodded through Lent, trying to expose and release the lies that have taken hold of our imaginations. We've tried to tell the truth to ourselves, like Mother Maya told us to, so that we are sustained and whole enough people to tell those truths to our children. That is, to the generations that follow whatever it is that we make and unmake together. And after a long slog through the wilderness, we've made it to Easter. Only to watch as even today, we struggle to tell the truth. Hear it again. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, and the other women who told these things to the apostles, their words struck the apostles as nonsense, locura. And they didn't believe the women. The Greek word here for nonsense is leros. The Greek word here for nonsense is leros. Theologian and scholar Dr. Anna Carter Florence has this to say about leros. Our Bibles translate it as an idle tale or nonsense, but the Greek word actually means trash, garbage, or bull. It's a locker room word. A wet towel whipping through a chorus of jeers, and until high school boys start accusing each other of being full of idle tales, a more faithful translation would probably be, these things seem to them to be a bunch of bleepity bleep. And they didn't believe it. I'm trying not to cuss on Easter, y'all. Leros, this word of derision and diminishment and insult, does not show up anywhere else in the New Testament. Except today, in this passage, on Easter Sunday, as these women come with their hands and hearts open, full to overflowing with their deepest truth, the disciples call them stupid, misinformed, delusional liars. What does it mean when the things that sound like lies are the very things that are clamoring to tell us the deepest kind of truth? The once persecuting, then converted to prophet Paul puts it this way. By ordinary human standards, not many were wise, not many were powerful, not many were from the upper class, but God chose what the world considers foolish to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak to shame the strong. As Dr. Florence continues her analysis of leros, nonsense, locura, she says that the logic of leros is that our testimony will be heard as a lot of nonsense, perhaps even from those who are close to us. The gospel has always been met with ridicule. Right from the very first time it was preached, it has always sounded like a lot of leros. It has always been more than the church can handle. Even when it is the very thing the church prays for. Not even the disciples, as much as they love Jesus, could take the good news. Instead, they flung it back in the women's faces. Easter nonsense dares to ask us to take in more than we can handle, to receive and ingest and imagine and live into a truth far beyond our cerebral comprehension or our cognitive categorizing. Easter nonsense dares us to sound like fools if it means we are fools for love and justice and freedom and life. These womanist theologians gathered at the tomb to tell us that it's time to start listening to the delusional truth tellers among us until that gospel nonsense sounds like the good news of the reign of God on earth. These women were singing us the credo with their whole bodies, their whole lives. When someone names their gender for us, instead of basing it on a preconception of their anatomy, it's time to listen to their Easter nonsense. Because maybe, just maybe, God has given us the divine gift of trans and genderqueer people to get over our ridiculous, dangerous, violent commitment to gender norms and the power they hold over our imaginations, the power they hold over how domination in this world functions. when someone names that the reason they have traveled from El Salvador to the Texan or New Mexican desert is for the chance at new life, it's time to listen to their Easter nonsense. Because maybe, just maybe, we'll realize that that border is a damning mythological construct of manifest destiny, a lie as old as this country. When someone names that because they have faced suffering and mortality as they've struggled to survive an illness or trauma, that they have a deeper, even mystical understanding of how to prioritize the living of their days now around what matters most, we better listen to their Easter nonsense. When someone decides that their inherited privilege or wealth is neither meant to be a point of individual pride nor debilitating shame, but an opportunity to cry out to God, "What Easter nonsense can you make up with this?" We better listen. When voices like Beyonce and Martin King and James Baldwin tell us that we might find our deepest collective joy as a nation if we simply learn to follow the lead, the imagination, the power, the witness of beautiful black and brown lives who have had to listen closely, heads cocked and ears turned their whole lives for the strange melody that Easter nonsense sings. Well, we better listen. When someone names that they have a story to tell us about resurrection, about the way God has slack-jawed them open to life and freedom and joy, we better listen to their Easter nonsense. When a community like this one dares to choose life together across lines of stark difference, across lines constructed for us without our permission or imagination, when we dare to transgress those lines and show up at each other's quinceañeras and same-sex weddings and graduations and hospital bedsides and immigration appointments and affordable housing forms, and we hold each other through all the storms that empire may rain down upon us until together we've threaded a rainbow of new covenants with one another. Woo! Then we'll know God is up to some Easter nonsense. Hoy día cantamos y alabamos a un Dios rebosando de locuras. Locuras como esta. Que tú eres el amado de Dios. Que tú eres el amado de Dios. No importa tu condición, no importa tu pasado, no importa de dónde vienes, no importa cuánto dinero tienes, no importa si eres popular, no importa si eres poderoso, no importa si tienes tus papeles o residencia o ciudadanía. Jesús ha resucitado. Y para Él, para el mundo, esto es locura. Porquería, cuentos exagerados, pero para los que han descubierto el amor de Dios, es la verdad. Y clamamos la promesa que el pueblo crucificado será un día el pueblo resucitado. Today we sing hallelujah to a God who is full of Easter nonsense. Today we ask God, what other Easter nonsense are you turning over? And over and over again until we believe it as a glorious, powerful, life-altering truth that it is. Who are we not listening to? Who is trying to tell us the truth to ourselves and to the children? Who is trying to give us a story that will make a way for the next generation? What Easter nonsense might save us all? No doubt about it, Jesus showed up even to disciples who could not ingest the story, to the disciples who called the women's truth-telling a bunch of leros. And we praise God for that grace today. But wouldn't it be something if today, of all days, we didn't need to rely on that extra dose of grace and instead could just bask in the imagination and power of Easter's joyful, overwhelming, unexpected, overturning nonsense. So today we read about it, we pray about it, we sing about it, we cry about it, we shout about it. We eat about it. We live about it. Today we tell the truth. We hear the truth for ourselves and the children. Today we listen to each other with ears wide open, slack-jawed, and overcome, that God would keep bringing us resurrections that free us to love with joyful abandon. It's Easter, beloved. Christ is risen. Now let's get up. Let's get up to some Easter nonsense together.